We're going to learn Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph of Maseches Shabbos. We are holding on Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph at the top of the page. So there was a machlokas in the Mishnah between Rav Lazar and Rav Akiva regarding Tumah and regarding Hadlakas in their Shabbos. So we quoted the explanation of Rav Adabar Ava in both of these machlokas, and Rav is going to have a different explanation about the machlokas of regarding Hadlakas in their Shabbos. Rav Amar Hainu Taimid Rav Lazar. The reason Rav Lazar says that you're not allowed to use a psilas a strand made from a beged, a wick made from a beged that was folded over but was not singed, is the v'she'in madlikim v'psila she'in mechoreches v'lo b'smartutin she'in mechorechin. You're not allowed to light with something that has not been singed a little bit because it doesn't light very well. That's why you're not allowed to do an Erev Shabbos. And Rabbi Akiva disagrees and holds that it's mutter. So the Gemara in Ches Amud Beis had quoted Rav Yosef, who learned from his Rebbeim that shalosh al shalosh etzba'os mitzum tzamos. And the way Rav Adbar Ava explained the machlokes of Rabbi Akiva by Avakas Ner Shabbos, that Mishnah was said, that statement of shalosh al shalosh etzba'os mitzum tzamos was said in connection to our Mishnah. So the Gemara explains, well, how do we explain that line based on Rava's explanation of our Mishnah? Elohad tani Rav Yosef shalosh al shalosh mitzum tzamos, that which Rav Yosef learned from his Rebbeim, that there's some statement about shalosh al shalosh mitzum tzamos, the mayhilchusa, we got by what halach is that said? So it says, well, in Tumah, that's halacha about Tumah, Ditnan, Shalosh Shalosh Amru, when we say that three by three etzvot is the shear of a beged to be makabel Tumah, chutz min amalal. That's aside from the small piece that the tailors leave to fold over to make a hem around the edge of the beged. Divrei Rabbi Shimon. The Chumrim Shalosh Shalosh Mechuvanos. So the Chum say that three by three etzvot is exactly miduyak, and you don't need to add an extra shear for the malal. So even though after the sewing, it's not going to be shalosh 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 because they'll hem it up a little bit, still it's going to be considered to be a beged. That's where we learned this din of shalosh 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 mitzum tzamos. So point number one, Rava explained the machlokas in our Mishnah about using a psilos habeged shekiplo below of hava to just be about using wicks that are previously unsinged. So we had mentioned Rabbi Yehuda that we're not allowed to light a fire on Yom Tov with broken kelim that broke on Yom Tov, and according to Rav Adbar Rava and Rava, the Tanaim in our Mishnah agreed to that as well. So Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Masikin bekelim, ve'in Masikin b'shivrei kelim. Rav Yehuda Marav says you're allowed to light a fire on Yom Tov using kelim, full regular kelim, because since you're allowed to use them for other things, they're full regular kelim, so you're allowed to use them to light a fire as well. But you're not allowed to use kelim that broke on Yom Tov because those kelim are considered nolad since they were previously usable for other things, and then on Yom Tov they broke. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Shimon Matir, Rabbi Shimon says that you're allowed to use shivrei kelim that broke on Yom Tov. Masikin bitmarim, you're allowed to light a fire on Yom Tov using dates because you're allowed to eat them on Yom Tov, so you're allowed to use them for hasaka as well, for lighting a fire as well. Acholon ain masikin begarinehen. But once you ate a date, you're not allowed to use the seeds of the date because that's considered like something that's brand new. Considered to be like muktzah. Div Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Matir, Rabbi Shimon says you're even allowed to use the garinim. Masikin be'egozim, you're allowed to use egozim for fuel for a fire in Yom Tov. Achola mein masikin be'kliposehen. But if you ate them, you're not allowed to use the shells of the egozim because that's considered to be muktzah as well. Div Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Matir, Rabbi Shimon Matir. So in all three of these cases, Rabbi Yehuda has a stricter stance on what's considered muktzah than Rabbi Shimon does, by shivrei kelim, by the garinim of dates, and by the klipos of egozim. Utsricha, and we need to be told that Rabbi Yehuda is machmir in all of these cases. The Yashmin Kamaisa, if we only would have known the one about shivrei kelim, by ikam, Rabbi Yehuda mishum demei karakli, the hashra shavrakli, I would say, yeah, that's where Rabbi Yehuda's machmir, because initially it was a kli, and now it's a shavrakli, vavali nolad, so that's like a brand new thing coming into creation, v'asr, and that's going to be the strictest form of muktzah. Aval tamarim demei karagarinim, but the seeds of the dates were seeds before Yom Tov started, and their seeds now that Yom Tov started, Ema Shapidami, I would think that would be Mutter. Rabbi Yehuda would say that that's not a violation of Nolad of Muktzah. V'yashmin Garinim, if you only would have told me that Rabbi Yehuda's Nachmir v'Garinim, Havamina Dmei Kar Mechassin v'Hashem Megalian, I would say, yeah, that's because Garinim initially they were covered up, but now they're exposed. Avoklipi Agozim Dmei Kar Megalu v'Hashem Megalu, but the shells of Agozim that were initially exposed and are now exposed as well, Eima Shakri Dami, I would think that that's fine to be masik with them. So Tzricha, that's why Rav Yehuda has to tell me that in all these situations, you're not allowed to be masik, Mishum Nolad, that they're all considered to be Nolad. So Rav Yehuda said three different cases of a machlokas with regard to Nolad. Rav Yehuda Amarav said three different cases of a machlokas with regard to Nolad. So all of them Rav Yehuda heard straight from Rav. Vahad Rav says the Gemara, I mean, that's what the impression we got. So says Gemara, that statement of Rav about Karine Tamarim, love Beferish Itmar, Ela Michlal Itmar. Actually, Rav did not say it Beferish, Rav Yehuda did not hear it straight from Rav's mouth. It was Michlal Itmar. He derived it from an episode that happened. The Rav Achol Tamri, because Rav was eating dates, Veshadak HaShias Olabuchya, and he threw the seeds into the oven in order to light the oven with it. Amle Rav Chia, Bar Patchi, Keneg Lebiyam Tavasser. So Rav Chia said to Rav, son of Gedolim, if you were to do a similar thing on Yom Tov, it would be also to do it, because the garinim would be considered nolad and not allowed to use them on Yom Tov, like Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. So from that Maisa, Rabbi Yehuda derived that according to Rav, garinei tamarim are also subject to the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whether there's nisr nolad, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda said that in the name of Rav. So says Gemara, but wait, kibluminei or lo kibluminei? Could Rabbi Yehuda be sure that that's Rav Shita? Did Rav accept what Rabbi Yehuda said? Rav just threw it was a Tuesday, a regular weekday. Rav just threw the seeds into the oven. It was Rabbi Yehuda, the Talmud, who said, oh, it must be that if you were to do this in Yom Tov, it would be asur. Do I know that Rav necessarily agreed with that? So Tashma says, well, it will be poshet the suffix from the following. When Rav came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he was eating dates on Yom Tov, and he threw the seeds to the animals to eat. So my love, Befarsi Yasa, wasn't this Maisa talking about Parsi dates, which are good, which are good dates, high quality dates? They ripen properly, and the entire flesh of the date totally comes off of the seed, and the seed remains without any fruit on it. So it's not roi l'tiltul for atchilas adam anymore. And nevertheless, Rav moved them to feed them to the animals. So v'lo kibla. So you see from there that Rav was not mekabel from Rav Yehuda that it becomes nolad and muktzah. He thought it's not muktzah. Says no, lo bar miyasa. Maybe we're talking about dates that still had a little fruit stuck to them. So hold the chazi agavimayu, since they're still roi to be moved for achilas adam, so that therefore he felt comfortable feeding them to animals as well. So the main point over here is that Rabbi Yehuda Marav said that we have machloket tanoim between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon by three different items, whether they're considered muktza to use for a fire, to light a fire with on Yom Tov. Shivrei kelim, which are absolute nolad, seeds of dates, and shells of egozim. And we just had some debate whether we are certain that Rav in fact held that way when it came to the seeds of dates. So now the Gemara asks on Rabbi Yehuda, who allows using kelim but not shivrei kelim for a fire. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Avchan bar Rav Yosef, the Rabbi Yehuda Amar Masikim the kelim, Masikim shivrei kelim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that you're allowed to use kelim but not shivrei kelim. I could ask, why are you allowed to use regular kelim? Kevin da Adik Buporta, since it lights a little, havelay shivrei kelim, it becomes shivrei kelim. Tzikam ahapich, bisur kam ahapich. When you then stoke the fire, aren't you turning over shivrei kelim? So aren't you being metaltal shivrei kelim anyway? So says Amar David to Rav Nachman, Amar Amar Rav Eitzim Shnashrim in Adekel. That what you could do is, if you have mukta wood that falls into the oven, you could just add more wood that was already detached and is not mukta to put into the oven, and then it will be batel barov, and then you'll be allowed to stoke the coals of the whole fire. So mistama, that's what he did over here as well. So even though kelim shleimim becomes shivrei kelim in very short order when you put them in the fire, if you put a lot of regular wood in the fire also, you're still allowed to stoke the coals. So now we're going to go back to explain the machlokas of Elazar and Rekiva in our Mishnah about a beged shekipla v'lo avhava, right? To use for a wick, a beged that was folded over but was not singed. So we quoted the sheet of Ravad Barava, understanding this to be a machlokas about Tumma and a machlokas about Ner Shabbos, and Rav explained the machlokas to be about Hadlokas Ner Shabbos. Rav Amnun is going to explain a third way to understand this machlokas. In order to understand this, it's important to realize a shear of a beged that's considered chashuv enough for an ani to use is 3x3 etzba'os. He'll use it to patch his clothing, because an ani doesn't throw out his clothing when it has holes, and then he patches it up. The shear for an ashir is shlosha shlosha tfachim. When it comes to tumas meis or other tumas besides for tumas meis, a beggar is makabel tumah even if it's just shalosh al shalosh etzba'os, because it's a at least usable for an ani. But a beggar that's right for an ani and not an ashir, that's designated for some tashmish that's not very chashuv, there are some ways that you could be mevatel its chashivos, and it won't be mekabel tuma. Meaning a beggar that's 3x3 tefach, and there's no being mevatel it. It's chashuv enough by definition. But a beggar that's only 3x3 tefach, and in the first place is only usable for an ani, there are ways to be mevatel that chashivos and make it that it's not able to be mekabel tuma. So says Gemara, Rav Hamnuna Amar Hacha, the Pach Mishlosha Shlosha Askin, and we're dealing with a beggar that's less than 3x3 tefachim, umukule mafonio shanukan. And over here we're talking about a wick that's made from these shmatas that are very low quality, very low value, like those things that are made to plug up a bathtub or something like that. So they're not chashav at all. And these pieces of shmatas, Rav Lazar holds are makabal tumah, and Rav Kiva holds are not makabal tumah. Rav Lazar the tameh, Rav Kiva the tameh, and this is Rav Lazar the shita so, and Rav Akiva the shita so. It's not, because there is a mishnah in the 28th parak of Maseches Kalin that tells us, Pachos Mishlosha Shlosha, if you have a beggar that's less than 3x3 tefachim, Sheskinu Likpot Boaz HaMerchatz, that you designate for a very low-level use, like plugging up a bathtub, Lenar Boaz Sikadera, or to grab a pot that's on the fire that's too hot to hold, like a trivet kind of thing, or an oven mitt kind of thing, Ulkaneach Boaz Sarechayim, or you designate it to clean out the mill from the dirt that's on it, so it shouldn't get mixed in, the dirt shouldn't get mixed in with the flour that you're grinding in the mill. In all these cases, these are very low-level usages. So, bein minamuchan, whether it was designated for use, bein shein minamuchan, it's mekabel tuma, because it's only meant for, its designation for such a low-level use doesn't take away its status of a beggar. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, that's Rabbi Eliezer's shita, but Rabbi Shomer, bein minamuchan, bein shelo minamuchan, tahar, that either way it's going to be tahar, that it loses its status of a beggar. And Rabbi Kiva Omer, minamuchan tameh, if it's designated originally as a beggar, so then it's still going to be tameh, it's not going to lose its shame beggar. But the shalom minamuchan, if it was not originally designated as a beggar, then tahar, then it's going to be tahar. V'amru ulavitem rabar v'vchana am Rabbi Yochanan, hakol modim, everyone agrees, all the tanaim agree. Zrako, if you, ba'ashma, if you throw this garment into the garbage, divrei hakol tahar, everyone agrees that it's tahar, it's not going to be mekabel tuma, because then you certainly have been mevatel the shame beggar from it. If you put it in a box to use it whenever you need it to plug the bathtub, give me a call tummy. The fact that you're putting it away to protect it shows that you're treating it seriously. They only argue, the whole machlokas is only if you hang it on a peg on the wall, so you didn't put it away in a box, but you also didn't discard it. So you hang it on the hook behind the door. Says, look, you didn't throw it in the garbage, so it must be that you're treating it with respect, so therefore it's still mekabel tuma. Umay kari lei shalom min amuchan. Why does Rabbi Lazar call such a thing shalom min amuchan? It's called shalom min amuchan because it's not being put away in a box. It's not being treated with that ultimate level of respect. Rabbi Shua Savar, midlo hinichu b'kufsa b'tulei batlei. Well, from the fact that you didn't put it in a box, that shows that you don't plan on using it. Umay kari lei muchan. So why does Rabbi Yeshua call it to be muchan? Because in comparison to throwing it in the garbage, it's considered to be muchan. Rabbi Akiva, if you hang it on a peg, he holds like Rabbi Lazar that since you didn't throw it in the garbage, it's still chashuv. And if you just put it behind the door, he holds like Rabbi Yeshua that since you didn't put it away in a box, it's not chashuv. And then Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva ultimately changed his mind and holds like Rabbi Yeshua entirely that as long as he didn't put it into a box, since you designated it for a tashmish garua, you're mevatel it from being a beggar, and it's no longer able to be mekabel tuma. So that is the machlokas in our Mishnah. We're talking about a beggar that was hung on a peg or was put behind the door, and it's designated only for tashmish garua, for a very low-level tashmish, and then you fold it to use it for a wick. So that's what Rabbi Lozer says in our Mishnah, that it's mekabel tuma, like his sheet in the Mishnah in Kelim, and Rabbi Akiva, the sheet also, holds it's not mekabel tuma. So it says the Gemara, Rimai, how do I know that Rabbi Akiva changed his mind ultimately and holds like Rabbi Yeshua? It could be that he still holds like what he says in the Mishnah in Kalim, that only if you put it behind the door, it's batel b'tzaras beged. And our Mishnah is just talking about a case where you put it behind the door. And that's where Rabbi Akiva says it's not mekabel tumah in our Mishnah. Meaning, what forced you to say that Rabbi Akiva changed his mind to hold like Rabbi Yeshua? You don't need to say that. You could just say Rabbi Akiva maintained his opinion and still explain our Mishnah ganz good. So it says the Gemara, Amarav mitzvani psilas habeged, my irid tani psilas. Psilas habeged. Well, from the fact that it says psilas habeged shekipla, you know, we could have asked, why does it say psilas habeged? It sounds like they folded the beged itself while it was whole, while it's still a beged. Listen to psila shel beged. Why don't you say it's a wick of a beged, not a psila, a psilas habeged that you say it's a wick from a beged, not a wick of beged. My psilas habeged, da'adai beged hu. Must be that it still has the chashivas of a beged, meaning that you hung it on a peg. And nevertheless, Rabbi Kiva says it's tar mekabel tumah, because he also like Rabbi Shua that even when you hung it on the peg, it's no longer going to be able to mekabel tumah. So the last main point, the final main point for this amud, is that the final explanation of the machlokas for the Lazar and Rabbi Kiva and our Mishnah about psilas ha-beged shekipla v'lov hava is that it's l'shit hasam in the Mishnah in Kalim, whether designating a 3x3 etzba'os garment for a low-level use, and not putting it away in a box, but yes, putting it on a hook or behind the door, is considered to be mevatel, it's shem beged, and take away its status of tumah. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, next time we'll pick up at the first Mishnah on Chaf Tes Amid Beis.